Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show tonight. I'm really excited. I brought a surprise, too, down here that I think I surprised everybody with. I want to introduce Jamie Deering from Deering Banjos. Deering Banjos, I remember seeing them at NAMM many, many, many years ago when they first started. They started out in 1975, and they are now the major maker of American banjos. I mean, they are the ones that everybody's using now. I don't know of anybody else that actually does make all of the banjos are really, really well made. They make real high-end ones, and they make ones for people that are more affordable ones, but they all play great. And we have a good cross-section of banjos here tonight. And returning, I want to welcome David Maldonado. He's been on several times. I have him every time he comes on, he plays a different instrument. A multi-instrumentalist. He's a killer flamenco player, but he's also a killer banjo player. And electric player, and he plays a mean bouzouki, and he plays a mean mandolin.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jeff. It's awesome. I'm glad all my guitar friends are listening out there. The incendios, everybody.
And said yes. No, JP said hi. He called me today. But speaking of, I posted the article up on Facebook, and I just want Jamie to know this. I'm going to quote. Another person that was on the show, Jim Kimo West, this is what he says. He posted this on Facebook. I use a Deering six-string banjo all the time, and I love it. Please give Jamie my best. My aloha. That's what he said.
Aloha to you, too.
So, anyway, I'll demonstrate it a little bit later. I brought in what the surprise is that many years ago, I used to go to NAMM every year, and I'd go over to the Deering banjo booth, and they made these really cool. I'm a sucker for pearl inlay. I just love inlay, and they would make these beautiful banjos. And I saw this one. It was a 12-string banjo. And just every year I would play it. And it was like about 3 years, and Jamie's mom, Janet, was there. And I finally, it would go down every year a little bit. They had it there, and I would get, because they would put it up for sale. And I was, saving up for it. And after the third year, I finally bought it. So I brought in my 12-string. I have a 12-string Deering banjo. And it's great. I use it a lot for sessions, and I'll show it a little bit later. But I just wanted to mention that. So I brought that was the surprise. Everybody's like, wow.
It's a real treat to see again.
Well, it's going to be interesting because I think David's got his eye on a 12-string now.
Yeah, he was playing I'm looking it, at
it. He was playing it earlier, and it's cool because you can do some of these open folk tunings, and it gets some really nice sparkly little things that you can do that's similar to a band, like a five-string type of thing, but it's a little more – it's a little more, you can get a little more harmonically interesting. So anyway,
yeah.
Let's just start out real quick, give a little bit of a brief history of the company and how it developed. And then I'm going to ask you, there's so many different banjos you make. I want to really go into depth a little more about how you, what the different models are.
Sounds good. I mean, this year is actually our 40th anniversary as a company, which we've been doing a lot of celebrations. So we started, well, my folks started it in 1975, mm-hmm. Greg and Janet Deering, and they still are at the helm. They love what they do. I can't even picture them retiring. And just growing over the years, you know, for many years there was only five crew, you know, building all of the banjos, and now we're at about 46.
Wow.
Is our staff. Yeah. A lot of it are crew that actually build. That's the majority of our staff, and they love what they do. We've changed a lot. Like when we started doing more of the six strings, that's become a very popular item. And at first we were, you know, looked at like, how can you put that out there when you have five strings as the American traditional instrument? But what a lot of people don't know is the six strings are not new. They've been around for at least 100 years. But they were originally more part of the blues jazz movement and had different tunings. Mm-hmm. And now it's gotten a whole new home and a whole new life in country music. So
well, there's a lot of people have, I mean, if you listen to old man Neil Young, now that's not that old, but James Taylor played the six-string banjo on there. And there's several other ones where I thought it was a regular banjo and it wasn't. It was a six-string. And I'm sure the session guys must have used. I know Tommy Tedesco just tuned everything to a guitar tuning and played it. But, I mean, that was, you know, they make sense, you know. And then the 12-string, that just blew me away because it just has, with the octave strings, it just gets a really cool.
Yeah.
It gets that similar to the drone G string, which we'll talk about in a minute on the regular 5-string banjo.
Yeah.
So now you make, I mean, there's the Good Time series, the Professional series, Eagle series, Golden series, Artist series, the Vega, the Ten Brook, the Private Collection, and Limited Edition.
Yes.
And what, and I understand the well, let's talk about the Good Time because that's the, probably the most affordable one.
Mm-hmm.
And they come with or without resonator. Can you get those?
You can get them with a resonator. Those are Good Time twos.
And now, what is the shell? Is the shell a wood shell?
It is. It's violin-grade maple, actually. We don't use a different kind of wood for our Good Times or the higher end. It's all the same kind of wood because that's where the music comes from. That's where your tone comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's considered a travel or a beginner banjo, we don't want to skimp on the sound and the playability. So we just figured out how to put it together and build it in a more affordable way to put them at a lower cost for people.
Yeah, and it's very reasonable. And now you guys just started. We were talking about this a little earlier. They make a ukulele, a banjo uke.
Yeah, the Good Time ukulele.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, just released in March. It's so fun. Yeah.
So that's great. No, really good. Now, most of the banjos are maple shells. Do you make any brass, like the master tone?
Where the whole pot is a, like no wood in the pot at all?
Yeah, I think the master tone, this is the old Gibson. They don't make them anymore. That's like the holy grail of banjos.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, that was a brass shell.
I think there's also wood in those. We have some that are similar. Okay. They're not exactly the way master tones were made, but sound like the bluegrass brightness that those had. Mm-hmm. We have like the golden era and the golden wreath that are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So those are like the master tone. And then you also make the Vega, which was, that's been around for a long time. I didn't even know it was even in the, what is it, 1920s or something?
1800s it started.
1800s.
Yeah. Around the 1880 is when the company started, and they made everything from banjos to horns to guitars. Mm-hmm. They were in Boston area, and they were just the instrument company. And they made them for years and years. And then around, I think the 60s or 70s, Martin got the name and started making them because Vega had stopped making most of their instruments by then. And then an Asian company had them. I don't remember the name of that one right now. And then in the 80s, no one had them. And that was the brand that my father fell in love with when he was 13 from the Kingston Trio.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so he'd always wanted one and couldn't afford it as a kid. That's why he built his own in college. And that's why he started Deering Banjos, was to get an affordable banjo out there for people that's good, that you can learn on. And so when he found out no one was making Vega banjos, like his favorite childhood brand, he went about getting the name. And then he and my mother went out and researched how they made them and where. They even found some of the original buildings in Boston to see if maybe there was like a screw left from the company, just mm-hmm. anything, and discovered some pieces and some machines, and got to really figure out how they did it, as well as improve on that technique. And that's what we have now with the Vega
banjos. So you actually, Martin didn't get all the tooling.
Not all of it. No, there is some of it, but the person who owns it does not want to part with it. So we've gotten to see it, but we don't own it.
Now, so you basically were trying to emulate the old style Vega uh-huh. banjo.
And sound.
And then you put your new innovations in it. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that a little bit, how it's what the new stuff you put in there, how it compares and why?
Some of it is just the construction is more sound. Mm-hmm. And like the heads, the way the heads are crimped and done is going to last a lot longer on a banjo. It's those types of points. You know, the Vega banjos that were made 100 years ago are great banjos. So to compete with that, we want to add to it. We don't want to, you know, they're part of the whole line. Mm-hmm. We want to keep that legacy going. So even some of the artwork, we've tried to stay with, like, the stars and the traditionalists and the peghead shape.
Yeah, it's a much simpler look. I mean, you guys do beautiful inlay look. Oh, I mean, some of the stuff, there's the picture I put in the promo, the promo card that I play, that inlay is to die for. Yeah. But it's, yeah, it is. It has a nice, like, austere mm-hmm. look to it. Is there, in terms of the neck and the construction of that, how is it different from some of the other banjos that you guys make? Or is it a totally different design?
It's very similar design. It'll just have different, like, inlays, different. Some of them are finished with more of a matte finish, but it's very similar.
Shape-wise,
as far as the playability of the neck, where you're going to be fretting. And the main difference is aesthetic, like the peg head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's, because it's, I remember the Martin ones. I remember seeing those, and a lot of people did like those.
But yeah, we keep with our Deering shape because that's become the most popular that people ask for from us. When we've tried to change it, people don't like that. So we mm-hmm. stick with our traditional Deering shape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, the professional series, you have the professional series, the artist series, the Tenbrook series. Mm-hmm. What are the Eagle series,
right,
which is the, I think, the most inlaid, except for the private collection. But the what's the differences on those?
Well, the professional series is a range of ones that are the most popular if you're a professional musician or going to be performing, and where you really want that extra volume with a little bit more, you know, showiness to the inlays and style. And it has the truss rod in the neck, so you have that ability to adjust it and mm-hmm. change the action as needed. There's quite a few. The Sierra is in there, the Boston, the Calico's in that one. So it's a nice range of banjos that have different sounds for you to pick from. The Eagle series is kind of part of that, but it's its own. That's a special one that we invented, that tone ring, the Eagle tone ring, that is got its own volume and sound, and also makes the banjo lighter weight, mm-hmm. which for those performing is rather nice.
Now, you said that the professional series had a truss rod. Do they? I thought all of them did.
Good Times don't.
Okay.
Yeah. Professional series does, and all of them in every line have a truss rod. Mm-hmm. Just the Good Times, that's part of how the cost is kept down. But we've never had an issue with them actually needing it.
Now, do you do, like, I remember Martin, before they used metal truss rods, they used to put like an ebony. Do you put something in the neck at all or nothing? Is it just a solid piece that was that maple?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a solid piece of maple. There's no anything in there to reinforce it.
There is. There's a whole construction with the truss rod and then wood and then the fingerboard. So there's a whole...
No, I mean in the Good Time banjo.
Oh,
is there like another harder wood in there or something like that?
That's where all of the design and research we did in the 90s to develop the Good Time, we did a lot of testing to make sure that neck would stay and be strong. Like the joints, if you can see where the peg head is attached, is actually mm-hmm. the way that joint and the glue is done is stronger than the wood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's why it's able to last and have the durability it does.
Yeah, you can. I'm going to take a picture of that because you can see there's an actual joint. It's not one piece.
Yeah.
So it and it's, yeah, you have, I don't know how to describe it.
It's a finger joint.
Yeah, it's a finger joint, so you can see. Let me take a picture. Now, the one we have here is a six string, and it uses a gut string. Is that typical, or is that a Deering?
That is a Deering thing. I mean, you can use nylon strings or gut strings on banjos as you want to.
Is that traditional, or is that?
Depends on who you talk to. Mm-hmm. I mean, early on, yes, that was pretty much what was available when, mm-hmm. you know, if you talk about back when banjos came over to America. And even before that, in Africa and other countries where banjos evolved from, that was kind of the second instrument. Drums were the most common and first instrument in some areas, and then you would put a string across that drum, and there you have the beginnings of what is now a banjo.
Now that's a solid maple neck, and then uh-huh. I mean with that joint for the headstock, and then it's a maple ring.
Yeah,
maple ring
for that one. Yeah, it's maple.
Go ahead, and I'll have David play this. Now this is a good time banjo six string with he's got nylon strings on here, so it's a little richer sound. It's not as sparkly as a normal, as you'll see with the other banjos we have with the metal strings. What's interesting is before the show, when he was warming up, David's he's an accomplished flamenco player. And I want you to play a little bit of flamenco on this because it actually has a very cool sound. It's a very cool thing. So give us a little bit. It's got a killer sound. It's interesting.
That's the Solana 6 he's playing.
The Solana 6.
Which is a classical scaled six-string neck on a banjo. Yeah.
And then there's a six-string steel string Solana?
Not for the Solana. There's only in the professional series, there's steel string six strings.
Oh, okay. So this is the only good time six string.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
I see. Yeah. Beautiful. I mean, it's the construction's just solid. And that neck is nice. I tried it a little earlier. It's a really fast neck.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great because many years, you know, I've been playing the banjo. And so I thought, you know, and I don't use the traditional picks that you put on your fingers. And so when I thought maybe, like, there could be some way that there could be a nylon string banjo because, like, that would be better for me than I can play a little faster in shredability. And so when I saw this at NAMM Nashville, I just completely fell in love with it because I was like, that is what I want. Mm-hmm. And playing it a little bit, I just fell in love with it. You know?
And then because you have nails.
Yeah.
You have nails. And steel strings will kill your nails.
Yeah.
But I have a question for you. Take a look at that bridge. Now, I noticed that under the bridge, you have a piece of wood. Is that rosewood or something?
Mm-hmm.
What's the advantage of that? Why did you guys do that? Because I noticed on every other, including my 12-string, it's just a little bridge piece.
Right. We call it the bridge plate, and it has two purposes on the Solana 6. One is when we first strung up one of these with the nylon strings, it didn't have the sound we wanted. And we thought, well, let's try this bridge plate, which we also have on our Phoenix, which is in the professional series. And we put it on, and it just brightened the sound up because it kind of sounded a little muddy and dull without it. And with the bridge plate, it just made all the difference with the nylon strings. And the second amazing secondary purpose is there's a piezo on this banjo. It comes with a pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And
those
have a tendency to feed back on instruments. But with that bridge plate there, it lessens that probability. Like, you're not as likely to get feedback with the bridge plate.
Now, did you do any experiments with that plate, the bridge plate on the steel string? What happened with the steel strings?
On the Phoenix, it did a similar thing. It brightens the sound. And on other ones, we haven't added it or needed to add it, but we've just noticed that on those two particular models, it was a really great addition to the sound.
Because I was wondering about that, because the plate distributes the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's not that much pressure. I mean, there is pressure, but with the nylon strings, it's not as bad as the
steel string.
Steel string, and especially like my 12 string, there's a lot of pressure going on that head. But I was just wondering if, because it distributes that a little more, if it's easier on the head.
I mean, you always have the option to put it on any banjo if you wanted to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now I can get one of those for my 12 string.
Oh, we could try it. I'm happy to see what it does.
That is one thing that I noticed about the Phoenix. Still has this plate, right? But there's still a little bit more ringing on it, mm-hmm. whereas the nylon string, there's not that much ringing. So I can do a lot of like the strumming on it. On the Phoenix, I can't do too much strumming on it. It has to be more singular notes, you know. But this helps it a lot. If this plate wasn't on the Phoenix, the steel string, six string, then like there'd be a mess of like overtones.
Right.
But yeah.
Right.
That plate really brought the Phoenix down to being able to play it a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to show, since we're talking about the 12 string, I'm just going to play this in my vocal mic reel here, but you can get an idea what it's doing. But this thing, especially playing it like a 12 string and doing like open folk chords and stuff, that ringing might be to an advantage.
Yeah.
So it's got that really nice. So it's just got a really chimey type of a.
I wouldn't dampen that at all.
Yeah. I would leave it. It sounds great.
Do you think the plate would dampen it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Definitely.
Because it's just that I'm hitting it towards the bridge, but it's got plenty of. No, it just kind of, and we were talking about this earlier on the show. I use it a lot of times to double with a 12-string guitar and put it a little back in the mix, and it just gives it a little more sparkle and. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, you don't notice it as a banjo per se, but it adds a lot more character to the 12 string guitars.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
It does.
So it's a.
I love hearing those.
This thing is, it's really, I love that thing. That's one of the best things. Tell your mom, thank you.
I will.
So, but the, so anyway, you know, so that whole, the construction of that thing is really rock solid. Mm-hmm. I like the fact, and it comes with the pickup.
Yeah.
Comes it with does. The pickup on
and it has a 12-inch rim, so it's got a larger rim around than most of the banjos, so that gives it the extra volume and fullness of sound.
Yeah, and this one doesn't have a resonator, so and it's loud. I mean, it's pretty it's pretty loud without the resonator.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, well, let's pull one of the other ones out. I don't know the tenor is, it says Boston, which is that an art, is that a
professional series?
Okay.
The Boston comes in a tenor, a five string, and a six string. And
okay, so this is what's the it's a maple
Maple rim and mahogany neck and resonator, which gives it a bit of a warmer tone.
Okay, and it's an ebony fingerboard.
Yep.
And some really beautiful inlay on it too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an 11-inch head.
Yep.
Go ahead and play. It has a rich, it's a little fuller, though. I have to admit, for playing live, the good time will cut. That definitely, even with the gut string, that thing cuts. So I would say for live performance, that'll be a good live instrument. This is nice for recording because it's full. Well, it's got the resonator, so that helps it a lot.
Yeah.
Too. What's the wood on the resonator?
The wood is mahogany.
They're mahogany?
Yep.
I think that's, is that what I have on mine too?
I'd have to see the back. Yep.
So that. Is that pretty standard? I'm sorry, I'm grabbing guitars and banjos. Is that pretty standard? Are most of them mahogany?
They're either mahogany or maple are the two most common. It just depends on the sound you want. Mahogany will give you that warmer, rich tone, and the maple is the more sweeter, bright tone.
Mm-hmm.
And then walnut's kind of in the middle.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Now, the good times, if you get it with a resonator, that's maple, right?
Right.
So it's a pretty, again, it's a bright cutting sound. Mm-hmm. So that's, that's a beautiful, this thing's great too. And another one, this is another one that has really beautiful inlay on it.
And it looks like you have a French polish or something on that one, you know.
Oh, on that's his? More, glossy finish,
That's a glossy, yours is kind of a...
It's a matte satin finish.
Satin finish.
Yeah, which some players are, when they play fast or a lot, especially if they're playing hotter gigs where they might sweat, the more satin finish or linseed oil is becoming popular. It's kind of a fast neck where you can move without... being delayed from...
So they prefer that when they perspire mm-hmm. more?
Yeah.
I always thought
I
that the...
Too. I love
I thought
them.
The glossier one would be faster.
It, for some reason, it can cause, like, sticking, I guess. So I've had a lot of guys ask for their necks to be linseed oil or matte finish just for that particular
Any
purpose.
Difference in the sound?
No.
Okay, so it doesn't matter which one.
Yeah, it
so sound-wise.
No,
I mean,
yeah.
maybe ever so slightly, but most people aren't going to notice. It might just be a little bit warmer.
Okay.
Yeah. But
and these are all metal truss rod. They all mm-hmm. the professional series are all metal truss. And this is the one. This is one of the ones I think. Right, you have the EMG.
I do have the EMG, but it comes with the Cavanjo pickup. That's like for the Deering banjos. That like where it comes straight through the.
Oh, so you have two pickups in there.
No,
that particular one has EMG.
I have the EMG endorsement. I can't like veer from that, but.
We put many different kinds of pickups on banjos depending on what a customer asks for. Our most common is the Cavanjo, and we have particular models that come with the Cavanjo mm-hmm. pickup. But if someone orders a banjo and really wants another brand on there, we're happy to do that.
What's the I know we did a show on EMG and David brought these in and we went into detail. What's the Cavanjo pickup like? Where is it, where would it be located on a banjo?
The Cavanjo pickup is very unique in that it goes right below where the logo is on the head,
mm-hmm.
Which is closer to the neck than the bridge. I'm trying to describe that on the radio.
Is it suspended or is it actually attached to the head?
It's actually attached to the head. And the amazing thing is that it doesn't change the acoustic quality. So you can play it acoustically, you can play it electrically, but it has, you have to work your butt off to get it to feedback, which is the nice part about it.
Yeah.
And you can turn it up loud, you can add effects, but then you can also just play in a jam session and have your acoustic mm-hmm. sound. Mm-hmm. It's made by John Cavanaugh in Salt Lake City. He developed it himself because he got tired as a banjo player of not having a good pickup.
Mm-hmm.
So he does those.
Yeah, no, it, and, it's hard to compare. Have you played one of the ones with the Cavanjo pickups?
I have played the
and
Cavanjo.
What do you think is the difference between that and comparing it to the EMG?
They are very close in sound. And yeah, I struggled with a lot of pickups. And, you know, we always struggle as acoustic players with this. And the Cavanjo was, like, really awesome. And I would have gotten the Cavanjo pickup placed in here because I turned it up. I like put it to the test, the Cavanjo, and it worked just as good as the EMGs, you know?
Well, one of the things I was impressed with the EMG is the EMG had a fuller, I mean, you could make it bright and sparkly, but it can't, it just flat into the board. It was really full. It had a little more depth, which was kind of cool for recording. I thought it was like, this is nice.
The EMG comes with a lot of bass. You know,
yeah, it has more. Well, it's a bigger pick. It's a pretty good size pickup, and that was what I noticed about that. But I was curious if the Cavanjo was close to that, or would it be a brighter pickup in general?
It's a little bit brighter, not much, but it definitely. If like I didn't have the EMG, I would definitely have the Cavanjo.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of pickups out there.
Yeah.
And it's only EMG for me or Cavanjo. That's like nothing else can handle what we do on stage. There's monitors, there's in-ears, there's whatever. But this one, like, I don't know how it happened, but Cavanjo and EMG.
No, I like it because it's bright enough. Nice. And you're not using the... it's not a piezo, standard piezo.
That is the problem.
And that's always been a problem with neon guitar. It just gets that kind of clacky sound. And I noticed that where they put the pickup under the head, it sounds better, and you don't get any of that problem. And especially you with nails, you know, if a piezo is not the best thing for a flamenco player.
Yeah. No. And the thing is like, I don't like to stand in one place in front of a microphone.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm wireless. And even with the wireless, you know, I'm, like, walking around doing a big show, you know. And so, like, I need to be walking around, put my foot up on, like, the Steve Harris on the monitor, you know, but I need to move around and like have a show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't just sit in one spot. At the same time, I want to be in the pub doing a session, you know, with all these guys. So,
it's got a full sound. It's a really nice, and it mics well too. The resonator is nice, and I mean he's playing it right now through the Audio Technica. And he's about a foot and a half away from it or so, or a little less. And that resonator it's a great, it's easy to record
with. It's amazing, yeah.
Notice that it's got a lot of dynamics. I mean, it's punchy when you punch it. I mean, it's percussive. You know, you're getting that percussiveness out of it, which is the dynamic. You know, it's a dynamic instrument. It really, it's not muddied or it's clear.
The articulation's
really good.
The tenor is more singular notes.
Right.
So you need to cut through, you know, as a lead instrument, you need to be like. Right. So it's like.
So when you're playing also too, you're using it as a more of a solo instrument as opposed to like a Dixieland. That's where I used to know the tenors. You'd see them like at Disneyland.
Oh yeah, they're still there.
This is the Boston like Irish tenor style. Mm-hmm. So and like this one's tuned low note C.
Okay, what is it? Go ahead, go play
it. The tuning is from low to high is C. G, D.
Go ahead and play it.
C, G, D, A.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I have all these other banjos.
So it's
plus,
not...
tenors have more than one tuning, so it's always interesting to figure out which one it's in.
The Irish tuning is G, D, A, E.
Yeah, like a mandolin.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
Right.
But this one, because I've been doing a lot of Irish sessions, I've like have it tuned a little bit lower. Actually, it's the Irish is more like the G D A E, but because
what do you call this tuning? What style is it?
It's like the traditional tenor. Mm-hmm.
That is actually tuning. The traditional tuning.
Yeah, okay. The C G
D A.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and it sounds a lot better with that. I mean, Deering makes their own Irish strings, you know, Irish strings that are the...
They're there for that tuning.
Yeah,
so
but
it goes
I
easier.
Have, these are the tenor.
So you would order a different set of strings for this
It'll be
tuning.
Easier to tune it, yeah.
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 Yeah, no, that's true. Oh, okay, no, that's cool.
There's a different set of strings mm-hmm. for this.
Okay.
And there's a 17th fret.
Yeah.
Boston.
Mm-hmm.
How many frets is this?
17.
Oh, we also do a 19 fret.
They do a 19th fret.
Which would be more for like the Dixieland.
Oh, okay.
You can also do
Irish
music.
Oh, so the Dixieland's a longer scale?
Often, yeah. I mean, I've seen it mixed. So to say it's one or the other 100%, I couldn't say that. But it's partly what you know and partly the sound you're after because one will be slightly higher.
Well, while David grabbed the five string, while he's grabbing that, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Is the long necks.
Oh, yeah.
So how does that work in terms of the tuning and the scales? The same tuning? How do you get the same? I mean, that's...
It's not the same tuning. Usually it's tuned to E.
Okay.
So it's lower tuning. And just having those extra frets, you can tune it lower, and which for guys especially is wonderful to sing with. That's why it's been such a folk instrument. That's why Pete Seeger had it done.
Mm-hmm.
And
were the Vegas long neck?
They were originally, they did make some of the original ones, though, like when they started to be being built, because it started with Pete Seeger, where he went decided he wanted his banjo adjusted to that. He took it to a luthier and asked them to add the frets. Mm-hmm. And then he started playing it, and then more people wanted it, and that's when it became something luthiers and banjo makers started incorporating into their lineup.
Yeah, because I remember the older Gibsons, they did have one model. But when Martin made the Vegas, they were mostly the regular five.
Mostly. They made a few, but mostly. Yeah. It's not been the most popular of the models as far as how many people play them. But once you fall in love with a long neck, it's hard to put it down.
And you also make a long neck good time, right?
We don't yet.
Oh, okay.
I'll just say that.
Okay. Leave it like. Okay, now we have the five string. And let's real quick go through the tuning. Is this the standard bluegrass tuning G?
It's a standard open G bluegrass tuning.
Okay.
So it has G.
High G drum.
High G. And
D.
Yep.
D.
G. And I think it's B and D, right?
Uh-huh. G, B, G, D, B.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you real quick. What tuners are you using there?
Those are planetary tuners.
Planetary?
Yeah, those are traditional. We also, like on the other Boston we had, those are guitar tuners. Now, I get asked this question a lot when they see the different tuners because, you know, a traditional banjo player is going to want the planetary because that's the look and the feel, but as far as the workability between those and the guitar tuners, they're the same quality and how well they'll do. They just feel different when you tune them because they have different gearing. So if you're used to planetary tuners, then that's what you should get. But as far as their workability, they're the same.
Is the planetary a higher gear ratio?
Yeah,
because that's one of the things that I know from guitars when I used to put Grovers on my retrofit, is the higher ratio it makes, it's easier to get fine point the tuning.
Yeah.
Now, the planetary ones, do you make those?
We don't.
Okay, so they're made, but they're sealed. They're sealed units.
Yep, both of them are, the guitar ones and these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guitar ones, are those?
We don't make those either. I don't know who we currently get them from.
Okay.
I'm not on that end as much.
Okay, and then the classical, the six string has traditional classical tuners.
Yes.
All right, well, let's take a listen to this guy. And this is Mahogany again.
Uh-huh.
And this is a professional series?
Yep, this is a Boston five string. So you heard the Boston tenor. David really likes the Bostons. And yeah. This is the Boston five string.
I played a lot of the ones that you have on there, the Sierras, everything, but like the Bostons, amazing.
Why? Why? Well, let me ask you before you start. Why? What's the difference to you of
The difference is like just the connection with the instrument. You know, it like sometimes we hear things and we feel things, and even though I'm playing like some of the like even lower or higher, it just matches my hands. Matches like. And I don't want to be corny or anything, but it matches my heart and what I'm trying to say musically with it. And especially with the, like, I have the other guitar tuners on the other Boston, but the bluegrass one, I definitely needed the planetary tuners. So there's a lot of options you can get when you get, the banjo.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I asked for the railroad spikes. Railroad spikes are, like, for if you have a capo on fret 2, you could put this one on
for the fifth
drone.
Oh, okay. Like so you second. Could actually like mini capo the drone
screen. Yeah. Yeah. And on fret 9 and 10, because there's different tunings, you know.
Right. I see there's a little marking there that tells you what it is.
Yeah.
Now, so. let me ask you real quick. How do you, as a player, tell me a little bit of the differences of what you perceive. I mean, in terms of tone and, you know, again, this is more, it's a personal taste. It's just like somebody plays a Strat over a Gibson or something like that. So, like with the Eagle or some of the other series, what did you notice the difference? How would you classify, how would you explain the difference?
So, as for me, because I do a lot of like in the bar sessions, and then I do like big 2,000 seat venues. You know, I need something that can like handle like having a Guinness in the bar with some Irish guys and then going to like the 2,000 seat to, you know,
concert be out there. Stage. Yeah.
So I love the Eagle, but that's like very, like some of them are just like more on the concert side. And I just need something in between that can go into like the pub and that can go bring the pub into the concert or bring the concert into the pub. So I think the Boston, like for me, called out to me because it's right in between. And that's not anything that I
like. So it can give you that kind of traditional sound, but then it's a concert. You correct. Can kind of use it both ways.
Someone's doing something right because I didn't choose it because it's like right in the middle of like the professional series or like the good times or something. Someone's doing something right because they can hear that I need it down here and I need it up here. You know, mm-hmm. I don't need like an amazing banjo to go and play into a pub or
so. Like, you know? For example, if you were just specifically playing, because that again, we got people you have to remember, he plays a lot of different styles, and as a player, whether live or in the studio, he's called on to do a lot of different things, and not all the banjo playing is necessarily bluegrass, so he might play different styles. And what I think I'm hearing from you is the Boston gives you, you know, as you know, we don't have the luxury of having 30 banjos with us to get every style and nuance, but that kind of gives you the best overall, opposed to, you know, that one gives you, you know, so you can get the authentic sound, like the Irish sound, but at the same time, you can get the bluegrass and you get the different styles.
I'm exaggerating by saying I'm going to go have a Guinness at a pub and play like No. But at the same time, I want to be able to, like, do what I do in that kind of setting, and like it just has a, for me, because of my like not the Irish stuff that I do, and I also do Americana country and stuff, mm-hmm. and so I have to like adapt to different people's tastes.
So this one to you is the more overall person.
Yeah, the Boston.
Nice.
And I get the Boston for the tenor, and I use the Boston for the bluegrass.
Yeah.
And I rack up a lot of fees in travel.
Well, no, that's interesting to note, because there's so many banjos that you guys make. I mean,
we have a hard time saying no.
Yeah. But I mean, that's interesting to know. And the sound of these, I'm really impressed with the Bostons. They're very good. They have a very rich sound, and I can see that. I can see what you're saying in terms of, you know, especially for session work. That you can do a lot of different things.
Yeah, and the tenor's like cut into like one note type thing, and this one is more like a lot of ringing notes.
Okay, good.
Ringing at the same time, still cutting through. Everything's like amazing.
Yeah, you can hear the articulation is there. It's clear. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed that even with the 12 string, when I play different arpeggiated things, it all rings out. It's all there. It blends well.
Yeah.
I got to get it in tune right. Once I get it in tune, it's right in the pocket. Yeah. You know, 12 string, I would say it takes a little bit to tune it up, but like any 12 string. Yeah. But once you get it there, it just rings and it just has a nice resonant sound. It's really, 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 really good.
Yeah. And again, all of them come with the option of having the cabanjo pickup on it. Mm-hmm. I personally.
This is this one too. Now, we had this on them before. This is the EMG pickup.
I personally use the EMG.
Yeah.
And they have like the D-ring strings as well to put on this. Yeah.
Yeah. We get our strings made by Dunlop. They make them all here in Northern California.
And now those are, now I noticed that, no, that's interesting because they don't look like they're not bronze wound. Now on my 12 string, I put bronze wound 12 strings, strings on. I think those are earthwoods on there. And, but what are, those aren't bronze. What are those, nickel?
Because I'm not sure.
Yeah, they are nickel, and the fact I didn't get a chance to change them, and I didn't want to change them right before the thing, but they are a little bit dirty, so they're like a little bit dark.
It has a little bit, yeah, darker, but yeah. It still rings true. That's no, but that's interesting because is that typical? You don't use bronze, like phosphor bronze, on a banjo? Is
not
that
as common? We can. We'll put them on if that's what somebody wants. Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, the standard one is a nickel for the I don't know. I didn't even think about that.
For me, you know, I'm happy with what they use because I love nickel. I'm not like,
well,
a,
no, it sounds right. I
bronze.
Mean, I'm used to using nickel on my electric guitars. Yeah. And it's like a no-no on acoustic guitars. So it just doesn't sound right. So, but it's no, they ring true. They're well balanced. It's a real balanced sound. I really like that. Now, I want to ask you, was there any unusual custom things that you've made?
Unusual. Well, recently we did a long neck for someone that wanted a voluptuous mermaid on the peg head. And so my father drew it out because he does a lot of those custom pieces on his own. And the first drawing wasn't quite voluptuous enough. Because we run all the custom work by the customer. We want them to be very happy with it. Mm-hmm. And so we did another one, and she was a little too voluptuous. So we kind of put it in the middle. She was absolutely beautiful by the time it was done. So that one just went out a few months ago.
Now, do you guys also do custom hit the banjo heads? Do they?
Yeah, we Remo up here, just a little north of here, will put artwork on a banjo head for us. Yeah, okay. It's a custom mortar, so it'll cost a little more, but we can put almost any graphic.
I thought I saw one with the Deering Eagle on it. I think I saw one at NAMM one time on there.
Yeah, we've done a few different ones, like for the Good Time Sweet 16, when it the 16th anniversary, we did a special head for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the standard one is what do you call it? The frosted top, and then you make a clear top.
Clear top, black head.
Oh, you have the black. Okay.
Black ones are cool. We can make one that's prism like, and then there's a fiber skin one that's similar to what an actual skin head would sound like, and then there's a Renaissance one which is, it's a good folk old timey sound to it. So there's several different kinds of heads you can get, and they all give you a different sound.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is there? Do you notice a difference between the clear heads and the frosted, or is it?
Oh, much. The clear heads are a bit of a warmer, deeper tone. There's always the fun of they're slippery compared to a frosted top head, so the bridge can, move around a little easier. But they give a good bass to them if that's something that you want on your banjo.
Now, those older heads that emulate the skin head, what do you usually use that on?
The Vegas.
The Vegas.
Very, very popular on the Vegas. Sometimes if you get like an open back Sierra, someone will want that on there because it goes so great with the open back playing style. Yeah. Folk old timey sound.
That's interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it just shows you how evolved it is. There's a lot more to it than just picking up a banjo. The heads, the pickups, the bridge, the woods, all of it, it has an effect in it. And you guys have it down to a science, which is great because they all sound good. They ring true. These banjos are amazing.
Thank you.
We're almost out of time. I just want to remember to put out there, go to www.deeringbanjos.com and you'll see all these beautiful instruments. And there's a lot there. You got to take a look at it. And also go to www.davidmaldonado.com and you'll see what, David, and you'll see what David is up to. And you'll see all the different instruments that he plays. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much. We ran out of time. I told you we'd go really fast.
Thanks for having us.
I definitely have to have you come back. There's just so much more to talk about on this. It's just a fascinating, these models are just killer. And I thank you so much for making my 12 string. It's a cool banjo. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, I'm so glad you're enjoying it.
Yes. So anyway, everybody have a great week. And David's going to take us out playing something. You're going to play the Good Time Banjo, the six string.
The Solana.
Solana 6. Right. So everybody have a great week, and we will see you next week.